very short business meeting at the conclusion of our service to give the trustees, authorize them to take care of an item that they have been working on. So we will work that in at the end of our service. It's good to see a number that have not been able to be out for a while. Last week we had a number returned from COVID, from illnesses. Good to see the Foleys. Good to see Bobby. Good to see Wes. Good to see the Whittingtons with us. And as the lights kind of, you're all fading. Some of you are still out there. You could all sneak off, and I might not catch that. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Take your Bibles and locate 1 Peter chapter 1. We've concluded the Gospel of Mark, and now we are continuing on with this study that we are calling Rock Solid. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. You'll see the notes in front of you this morning. This title has morphed through several options from a pebble and a boulder and a solid foundation to Rocky and the Pebble. Could also have gone with Rocky the Pebble in the Land of Jell-O. They'll all connect. Help me as we get started this morning. Let me give you a little test. Can you help me identify these famous landmarks? First of all, the one on that side, the blue one, left. Thank you. What's the triangle? The Pyramid of Egypt. Very good. If you haven't written down the answer, now's a good time to write down the answer. Get credit for it. Number two, the one in the middle, represents the Eiffel Tower of Paris. How many of you been to the Eiffel Tower? Nobody asked me to go, but it's okay. Looks like time for a road trip. Number three, on the far that end, the Leaning Tower of, how many of you said pizza? You're going to learn something in just a couple minutes. Let's look at that last one, and it helps us understand this text this morning. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, P-I-S-A, I think, is famous. It's not famous for its height. It's 18 stories tall, but there's many more higher buildings in the world. It's not famous for its height. It's not famous for its unique architecture. There are a number of more impressive items of architecture in that area around the world. The Leaning Tower is famous for its lean. It is in slow fall. The question is not if it will fall, but when it will fall. The tower is famous for its slow fall and its swampy foundation. How did we get here? How is it that this tower leans so precariously? Well, it started at the start. The tower, the not leaning yet tower, was built on swampy land. The picture of instability. an unstable foundation is not what you want to build anything on. In fact, the word Pisa, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, P-I-S-A, means marshy place. In gym language, it means do not build here. And yet that is what they did for whatever reason they did. And the question is not if it will fall, but when it will fall. The prediction was 2007. It's still standing. Why? Hold that thought. So the Leaning Tower of Pisa is an unstable structure. But that tower is not the only thing built on instability. We are built on instability. We all, each of our lives, could be characterized, labeled as unstable. We live by the breath of God. We live with the breath of God. We are here because God said, I want him here. I want her here. I want you here. I want me here. But when we were born, when we were conceived and then born, we have landed in an unstable world that is touched and tainted with sin. And that sin is passed on to us. We are born with a sin nature. We are living in a swamp with a leaning tower that is our life. And we need to address the lean. We need to fix the lean. There's some foundation work for all of us to do, for all of us to do today. And when we come to the Word of God, we find some great foundation work ahead and the blueprints for what needs to be done. Well, in your notes, you'll notice that we've got a guiding principle. Let's fill in those blanks. Our guiding principle is that successful living builds up off of a solid foundation. Just the opposite of what we see in the Leaning Tower of Pisa. A successful life will build up off of a solid foundation. If your foundation is jello, if your foundation is flaky and fragile, then your life is going to lean in the wrong directions, and good chance it eventually is going to crash and burn. Well, here's the grounding truth that comes out of 1 Peter chapter 1. That is, any weak, wobbly, failure-ridden person can become rock solid through Jesus Christ. What is our series? Rock solid, having a rock solid life. The hope that any of us have this morning, the hope for anyone that you will lock eyes on this week, is that no matter how weak, wobbly, failures of our past, we can become rock solid, and the key is that happens through Jesus Christ. The author of 1 Peter is the Apostle Peter. What do we remember about Peter that we've covered for several weeks now? Peter was a mess. But Peter is our model for the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And if Peter's life can be remodeled into effectiveness, remodeled into faithfulness, then there's hope for every Christian out there. And that includes me. It includes all of us this morning. So we're going to end with a going forward commitment. Yes or no. You can check the box. Our going forward commitment that we're aiming for at the end is yes. I want to be rock solid. There are three rock solid lessons that stabilize the life of a Jesus disciple. Looking in verse 1, lesson number one, who Peter was. First word you lock in on chapter 1, verse 1, starts off with Peter. This may be a little foreign to us in our culture today, in perhaps in this part of the world, but this is a letter. It is authored by Peter, and in that era, in that time of history, they often signed their letters at the beginning so you knew who was writing. And part of what we have right here, Peter. Who was Peter? Peter was a pebble. Peter was a pebble. P-E-B-B-L-E, pebble. Little, little rock. Many people are confused about Peter's identity. Some have suggested that Peter was a pope, in fact, that he was the first pope. Some have suggested that Peter is the guardian of heaven's gate. And you've seen probably all kinds of cartoons that Peter is like, I don't like your dog. You're not coming in. You brought a cat, forget it. I like your dog, you're a fisherman, I'll let you in. As if Peter has the say-so on who gets into heaven. And he's heaven's gatekeeper. Nowhere in Scripture do we find any evidence that Peter was a pope, the first pope, that he's the guardian of heaven's gate. In fact, just the opposite on both of those suggestions. What we do know is Peter was a fisherman. He was a fisherman with a fleet of boats. He was a fisherman with his own fish. If you go over to the Sea of Galilee today and take a boat trip out on the Sea of Galilee, often they will have a barbecue or a feast on the beach, and they serve a fish connected with what we may know as tilapia today. It's called St. Peter's fish. What kind of fisherman was Peter? Well, he had a fleet of boats and he had his own fish. That's a pretty good fisherman. Peter was also married. We learned that in the Gospel of Mark. Peter had a mother-in-law. You do the math. If you have a mother-in-law, you have a wife. And you'll see that Peter's wife is referenced in later epistles in the New Testament. Peter is married. Peter was one of the earliest followers of Jesus. He was one of the 12 disciples. Every time the disciples are listed, Peter is at the head of the list. We know that Peter was leader of the pack. He had a high-octane personality, but without self-control. Here's the danger for all of us with a high-octane personality or a high-profile position. If we don't have self-control, we crash and burn, and we can take a lot of people with us. I worked for a Pirelli tire company for a while in my life. We made high-performance tires for high-performance vehicles. If you're looking for some tires for your Ferrari, I know where I can get them for you at a discount. I think they're about $8,000 a piece. You just want to drive one of those cars, don't you? One of the marketing slogans for Pirelli Tire, strength under control. If you can drive 100 miles an hour, but you can't make the turn, you're in trouble. If you can't control the vehicle, you'll crash, you'll burn, you'll take all kinds of, and leave all kinds of damage. And we see that in the life of Peter, especially when he lacked self-control. And I am reminded, we're all reminded that the fruit of the Spirit of God in our life is, one of them is self-control. If we don't have self-control, we ought to keep our vehicle in the garage. But Peter gives us all hope. Because here was a man that missed many a corner in life, went off the racetrack again and again and again. But here we are. And what we're going to read and what we're going to study is so encouraging. It gives every one of us hope, hope that we can live a rock solid life on this planet at this time. Who was Peter? We've talked about who he wasn't, some of the characteristics about who he was. The key characteristic I would say about Peter is that he is a Jesus student, a Jesus disciple. And we're going to see the effects of that with time, staying on target, what a difference that makes in Peter's life, which reminds me, reminds all of us, that with time and truth, how far we can go down the road for Jesus and with Jesus. Who was Peter? Peter is a pebble. He's still a pebble. If you keep your finger in 1 Peter 1 and come over with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we did look at this in the study of Mark. Matthew 16, as Jesus begins talking about the church, the establishment of the church. And Christ asked this question of his disciples. What are people saying about me? They gave some answers. Then he zeroes in on all of them. But what do you guys say? Who do you say I am? Matthew 16, 16, Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, God the Son." And Jesus said, that answer's right. "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my spirit who is in heaven." Verse 18, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." And some people get confused about this passage and think that that infers, implies that Peter is the founder of the church, the founder of, the first pope. But that is not, clearly, not what is being taught here. Jesus uses a play on words here, using a couple of different words connected to Peter and connected to rocks. The word that Christ used here for Peter, "You are Peter," that word there refers to a pebble, a little rock. Think about the little rock that you get in your shoe as you walk along a gravel road or on the beach. A little rock can make its presence known. A little rock can be annoying. But you don't use little rocks for your foundation. Moving on ahead, "You are a little pebble, and upon this rock," and now he uses a totally different word, "I will build my church." If Jesus builds his church on Peter, then the church is in a lot of trouble. If Jesus builds his church on all of us, we are in hot water. Jesus builds his church on the rock of his confession. That rock is a much bigger rock. He builds his church on the confession that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. As we sang earlier, our living hope. Peter, you're a pebble, you're a little rock. I will build my church on the massive mountain stone of what you correctly said about me, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Lesson number one, who was Peter? Peter was a pebble. A pebble, not the rock on which the church is built. You familiar with Rocky Balboa? Some of you are, that theme music is going through your mind now. Rocky. We often think that Peter was Rocky or became Rocky. The reality, he's more like Pebbles Flintstone. And so are we. But God can do amazing things with pebbles. And here's our first aha moment of the day. God can and does create masterpieces with little to work with. Let's not focus on how great Peter is at the expense of missing how great God is and what he can do with anyone, including us. Any weak, wobbling person can become rock solid. The key is to live life through Jesus Christ. Lesson number one, who Peter was. Lesson number two, let's go back into 1 Peter 1 and let's look at the second and the third words here. Peter, an apostle. Lesson number two, what Peter became. Peter's a pebble, he becomes a boulder. A boulder. More than a pebble, but still not a mountain. Still not the mountain. A boulder. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, we read about when this happened. When this began. Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus summoned his 12, what? Disciples. Disciples, and gave them authority. Good word to underline there. Over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease, every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles were, and then he lists them all out. We start off this chapter with them being labeled, named disciples, and now they are named apostles. These 12 men were given a unique appointment. A unique appointment and a unique authority. That appointment and that authority has not been passed on to anyone else. There are no more apostles today, and we should be careful with the terminology we use. The office of apostle died out with the last of the original 12 apostles, likely John, between 90 and 100 AD. These men are significant in that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles' teaching. So we have Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He became an apostle. There was a time in his life where he wasn't an apostle. He became an apostle. He became a boulder. Still not the mountain, but a boulder. As we get ready to move into lesson three in just a moment, we are reminded, just a quick rocket ride through Peter's life. If we would describe Peter, past, present, and future, he's impulsive, he's imperfect. The New Testament will give us a couple examples of Peter's imperfections, even as a leading apostle. There are moments in his life where he's marked by legalism. adding standards to the gospel message. There were times where Peter was guilty of hypocrisy, being a hypocrite. But we notice that Peter dealt with those things. He was challenged by those on those things by others. He dealt with them, forsook them, and moved forward. He was not perfect. He's impulsive by character, by nature. He's at times imperfect in his conduct, but he is a key influencer in the development of the early church. And we see throughout Acts, Peter taking a leading role time and time and time again, validating the gospel message, proclaiming the gospel message, defining and defending the gospel message. He is a leading influencer in the history of the early church. And we benefit from the foundational work that he did for Jesus Christ. And that brings us to a couple of other aha moments under lesson number two. What Peter became. He became a boulder. We're reminded that God is patient. God is patient with people. He drafts leaders. He drafted Peter for leadership. He was patient with Peter. Patient with leaders. I'm sure glad God is patient with people, including me. We need to be patient with leaders, with people. God is patient with churches, and that's a good thing for all of us. You know, as we, as new members come in and meet with me and go through our Next Step membership class, one of the things that I share with them is I share with them our church structure, the authority, how we're governed, how we act, our leadership. And one of the things I stress, leadership is committed to making the right decisions, not committed to making quick decisions. Some decisions take time to research, time to investigate, time to develop. As the leadership of First Baptist Church, we're committed to making the right decisions, not quick decisions. And our decisions are bathed in prayer, bathed in study, and processed as a team, imperfectly, but that is our target. God is patient with leaders. God is patient with people. God is patient with churches. Another aha moment. God is developing leaders. He is developing Peter all through this process. Peter doesn't become overnight what we read in Acts and what we read in 1 Peter. There is a process. He became. It reminds us that we are all in process. The question is, what are we becoming? If right now it was all over and our life was written in a book, what would be the assessment right now? What would we like it to be if we had another month, another year, another decade to become what Christ wants us to become? God drafts leaders, he develops leaders, and leaders make mistakes. Peter made a bunch of mistakes in his life, but leaders grow through them. People make mistakes but need to grow through them. Churches make mistakes, but they need to grow through them. Here's three ways that we can work on that in the days ahead. Number one, own it. Own your mistakes. Number two, learn from them. And number three, leave them. Own it, learn from it, leave it. And let me add one more thing. All disciples of Jesus are imperfect. Be patient. Be in process and be positive. Be patient. Patient, sometimes it takes time to develop good habits. Be in process, develop those good habits. And be positive. God's not done with me yet. And the power of God made a difference in Peter's life, a difference in the other disciples' life. He can make a difference in my life if I give him the time, if I give him the energy, if I give him my obedience. Lesson number one, who Peter was. Lesson number two, what Peter became. He was a pebble. He became a boulder. That leads us to lesson number three. We are flying through this epistle, aren't we? Let's stay in verse one. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout a whole bunch of areas, who are chosen. Lesson number three, what Peter wrote. What Peter wrote. Peter wrote to real people on a real map with real problems, real issues. He wrote to shaky people in an unstable world, a world of jello, a world of evil. And many of them were the targets of evil. Look in your English translations how this group of people is described. Aliens. Some of your translations will say refugees. Are there any aliens running around the world today? Are there any refugees in the world? There's refugees, aliens, here in verse 1. They're scattered and they are suffering because of their faith. Scattered. Your translation may say dispersed. There is a chapter in history called the dispersion. It's a little different from here, but they were thrust out because of what they believed religiously. And here's some people, they are scattered, dispersed from what was their homelands to other areas, facing hostility and persecution. Can't say it any better than this quote I came across from Chuck Swindoll in describing them. Scattered by persecution, victimized by circumstances beyond their control, wandering in the wilderness of despair, yet these men and women had reason to hope. They were God's chosen. We'll unwrap the meaning of that last phrase in the days ahead. They had reason to hope. And wherever you're at this morning, you have reason to hope. And anyone on the planet, wherever you may be, some dealing with tremendous pressures, there is reason to hope. Scattered, suffering. As we think of suffering, the lessons of Scripture, the teaching of the Word of God, sometimes there is suffering unjustly. Things come into our life that we haven't sown that seed, we haven't nourished that seed, but the seeds of harm, the seeds of hurt, pain, difficulty come into our life. And sometimes there is unjust suffering. What's the biblical response? Trust God, trust his holiness, trust his righteousness, trust his grace. The God of the universe will make things right. He will address every wrong in this world in every moment of history. I trust his holiness. I trust his righteousness. I trust him for the grace to get me through this moment. There are times when suffering is just. We've done it, and there's the consequences for the did it. We broke a law. We broke God's law. We broke a commandment. We broke a principle. And we suffer the consequences for it. What's the biblical teaching when there's just suffering? Repent. For the believer, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repent of our sin, own it, learn from it, leave it. Repent and trust in God's mercy. When the suffering is unjust, trust his righteousness, trust his godness, trust his grace to get me through the moment. When I have brought it on myself, repent of that. Own it, leave it, confess it, and trust in God's mercy. If he said we're forgiven, then we are what? Forgiven. One of the things that we have learned as we have walked with Jesus for 3 years is that he has a soft heart for the hurting and broken. As you work your way through Peter, you discover that Peter has a soft heart for the hurting and broken. He could readily identify with people. In this epistle, 15 times Peter broaches the subject of hurts, suffering, pain. He'll use 8 different words for suffering, hurts, pains, reminding us that hurts come in all sizes, all shapes, all smells. No one escapes the reality of hurts in life. We all know what it means to hurt. So we better learn to live under God's mercy, with God's grace, with his holiness over everything. Christ gives us hope in hurtful times. Scattered suffering will end with stability. You see, there is stability even in the swamp. The Leaning Tower experts, in looking at the target date of about 2007 for the tower to fall, brought their collective insights together, strengthened the foundation of the Leaning Tower, and now calculate the expected fall date has been moved back 300 years. So if everything works according to their plans, that tower will not fall in our lifetime. Somebody else's mess to clean up. But the truth is, it will fall. It will fall soon. And if you want to go up today and walk to the top of the tower, they might let you do that. But it will be a risk. And you never know when the next storm may come along. And any storm is a threat to that tower. Just like any and every storm is a threat in our life. And we never know when it's going to hit. Better work on the foundation. Better have a solid foundation. What were the words that we sang about a little earlier? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Successful living builds up off of a solid foundation. Good news, any weak, wobbly failure, any person can become rock solid through Jesus Christ. So how are we going to leave this morning? I'd encourage you to leave with this commitment. Yes, Jesus, I want to be rock solid. I'm going to ask our worship team to come at this time. They are going to sing for you. You can listen in and I think watch the lyrics. I'd encourage you to do that and to listen to the Spirit of God. And this is your moment, your opportunity to make this prayer and to make this commitment to the rock, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I want to be rock solid.